The all alone wound is what I'm here to share about. It's great to be here with you. I heard Herb went to the doctor the other day. He was having trouble hearing. And so the doctor was checking him out, and the doctor was looking at his ear, and here he found a suppository in Herb's ear. And Herb said to the doctor, "Well, I guess I know what happened to my hearing aid." So my coworker just told me that one yesterday. So the all-alone wound is something I can really relate to, and I'm sure that as we look at it, some of you will feel like you can relate to it as well. To illustrate the all-alone wound, let's take a look at Bugs Bunny. He's got the all-alone wound.
Change in the teetotaler lineup. Catching, Bugs Bunny. Left field, Bugs Bunny. Right field, Bugs Bunny. Pitching, Bugs Bunny. Third base, Bugs Bunny. Center field, Bugs Bunny. First base, Bugs Bunny. Shortstop, Bugs Bunny. Second base, Bugs Bunny.
If you listen to sports radio, sometimes they play that clip at the beginning of the season before the Phillies lose any games. Let me just see if I can hooks my laptop along here. This is a picture of the team that Bugs Bunny replaced. And he actually was on the team, and he's right here. This is your own Jay Brackbill, 20 years ago at Meckville. And this is me here. Whoops. There you go. That's me, and I don't know if there's anyone else on there that you would know. But 20 years ago, Jay, has it seemed that long? Jay was a good left-handed batter. He played first base, and was always a good slugger, a dead pole left-handed hitter, just like Ryan Howard. All right. Manhood is a team sport, and that's what these illustrations are about. Bugs Bunny was doing it all by himself. We tried to do it together as a Meckville team. And in encouragement, in the men's frat material, we're making a shift. In Quest, we're making a shift from looking at things your dad or mom did to you, shifting to things we do to ourselves. And changing from the past to more of the present and where you're at today. The all-alone wound is a self-inflicted wound, and it's really a refusal sometimes to see life as it really is. What is life really? Really, life is a team sport. This book was written by Stu Weber, and in his book he says, he's talking about being a team sport. He says, "Together, it's one of the most powerful words in the English language, and geese know how to use it to full advantage." And we're going to just take a glance at some geese here. Of course, around here, the geese don't fly in V's around here. They fly in W's. Wildlife biologists tell us that a flock of geese, by flying in a V formation, actually adds at least 71% more flying range than if each bird were flying on its own. As each bird flaps its wings, it actually creates an updraft for the bird immediately following. Left to itself, the lone goose experiences a drag and a resistance that causes it to long for the flock. When the lead bird in the formation gets tired, it simply rotates back in the wing and another flies the point. Draft horses. We're looking at draft horses. They also experience a similar dynamic. Draft horses were made for pulling. Several years ago at a Midwestern county fair, the champion animal pulled a sled that weighed 4,500 pounds. Any of you watched horse pulling at the farm show? Okay. At home, we can get the farm show right on our TV in our living room, and we watched a lot of farm show stuff. I have a 5-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old daughter, and they loved sitting there watching the horse pull. We actually saw my wife's brother sitting in the audience, which was kind of neat. The second place animal dragged 4,000 pounds, and then someone proposed harnessing the two horses together to see what they could do as a team. Together, they pulled 12,000 pounds. So each horse on its own could only do about 4,000. Together, they could do 12. There's that word again, together. Let me ask the obvious. If our feathered friends know it and the four-footed beast experience it, why should we be so slow to learn it? Together is better, especially when hardship presses in and there's a tough pull ahead. Some men have caught it. They've reached out towards other men in moments of need and vulnerability. They've taken the risk and grabbed a few friends, and they've changed their world. The power of friendship and the strength of two or more can make you fly higher and longer, pull bigger loads, and be more of the man you were meant to be. Together is how life was meant to be. How connected we are with each other, you know, or how disconnected we are with each other has a lot to do with the quality of each of our lives here this morning. How close and relating I am to other men tells a lot about my quality of life. Let's look at three significant relationships that empower and energize a man's life. The first one we're going to look at is the admiring mentor. I'm sure as you maybe went to school or grew up in church or had neighbors, there was probably an admiring mentor in your life, somebody who looked at you and affirmed you. This is often in the first half of your life. I'm 40. I just hit 40 this year, so I'm probably about in the middle of your ages here. But certainly, the admiring mentor is something, we call it a sage, one distinguished for wisdom, a mature or venerable man of sound judgment. This could have been a coach. The high school that I went to, the 11th grade teacher was our baseball coach and our basketball coach, and I really looked up to him, and he was this admiring mentor. He took an interest in my life. One of my teachers that I had in science class, I still see to this day. I like to play racquetball, and I see him at the Y just about every week. And they take an interest in your life, and they do some things that your dad can't do. There are, you know, if you had a perfect dad, or if you had a dad who was full of a lot of problems, regardless of where your dad was in the spectrum, there are things your dad cannot do in your life, and that's where these admiring mentors come in. Second one is the side-by-side friend. These occur throughout life, and they are loyal and confidential. And these are men that we live life with. And to illustrate this, I'm going to show you a video clip from a movie called Touching the Void. Touching the Void is based on a real experience of two men who went to to climb a mountain down in South America. And the mountain had been climbed before, but never by the route that these two guys took. And I'm going to show you two clips of it today. I'm going to look at the first clip here. These guys are talking about what it means to be dependent on your friends. Let's take a look at this. All right. The fact is, in life, we need to rely on other men. The needy protege is the third significant relationship that empowers and energizes us. And I can relate to this a lot at this point in life. Last night I met with five young men talking about life and their walk with the Lord, and I meet with them usually twice a month. Blessing a young man with your wisdom. If you're at a position in life where you can speak into other people's lives and believe in them and give them a boost, it gives us satisfaction. These three relationships connect, energize, and empower us. Without these three, we are impoverished. Without other men in our lives, we are much less of a human being, much less of a man. Okay, let's look at a definition of the all-alone wound. The all-alone wound is a social, or it's a social, emotional, or spiritual loss. Socially coming up short, you emotionally come up short, you spiritually come up short. And why is this? It's because of the lack of healthy male comradeship. And this can result in loneliness and discouragement. Loneliness and discouragement can result. It can result in foolish behaviors and blind spots. And I'm going to elaborate on these a little bit more as we go along. And the third one is short-sighted masculinity. Every man benefits from the company of other men. Is our next blank there. Every man benefits from the company of other men. I'm going to talk about male cheerleaders. When I was in high school, I played basketball. I was not very good at it. And we had cheerleaders in our school. And I frequently would get distracted and be talking with the cheerleaders from the basketball court as the game was in progress. I didn't get much playing time, so... But we need male cheerleaders in our lives, people who, other men who are saying, good job. A band of brothers. As a young person, we had our gang. When you were in elementary school, or maybe at church, or maybe in your neighborhood, you had your little gang that you hung out with. And you could probably name some of them from your childhood years, who they were. As we go through life, as you got into your teen years, you probably had people you ran around with. Then if you were like me, they went off and got married, and I went off to college. and it changed. And Karen and I got married when we were 33, so we had gone through multiple groups that we became friends with people, and then they all get married and go do other things, and you're left all alone. And then you get into another social group, and you get warmed up with those friends, and then some of those go off and do other things. So, you know, in my life, that contributed to my all-alone wound. I wanted to go to college, and out of 60 grandchildren on my mother's side, I was the first one to go to college. On my dad's side, I only have five cousins, I believe, and I think most of them went to college, but my dad was from Iowa, and... My dad was a non-ethnic Mennonite. He grew up Lutheran, even with the name of Brubaker. So as we go through life, our circles of friends keep changing, and it's hard to stay close to other men. Even now, it is a struggle to have a good male friend that you're close to for some of us. You get married, and then things change. So somewhere in our mid-20s or early 30s, we have a lot of acquaintances, but very few friends. And we find ourselves all alone. There was a book written called The Friendless American Male. Is this you? Are you disconnected, or are you connected to other men? A study at Southern Methodist University, I'll put the words on the screen. The data indicates that even the most intimate of male friendships, of which there are few, rarely approach the depths of disclosure a woman commonly has with other women. Men who neither bear themselves nor bear with one another are buddies in name only. So what happens to us if we're disconnected? Four of the downsides of being alone. Number one, warped perspectives on life. When we are isolated from other men, we can get a very distorted view of life. Found in Scripture, Proverbs 14:12, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. And in this warped perspective, we can talk ourselves into anything and become very unbalanced. And this is where I found myself 8 years ago. I lived with my parents till I was 25, I believe, 26. And I moved out in 97. I bought a house, moved out by myself. And I had been making some bad choices as I went along through life, and those bad choices were all hidden. They were all internalized. No one else knew them, not even my closest friends. And as I lived on my own, and the internet became popular in the late 90s, internet became much more developed, and I developed a pornography, online pornography problem. I have never purchased pornography. I have never purchased print pornography. I've never had print pornography in my possession. It was all online, so it was all temporary, erasable, and no one knew. And as I got into that, I found myself looking at pornography that I would have never imagined I would look at. And even as I was looking at it and after I looked at it, I couldn't believe that I was where I was. A warped perspective on life. I had gone that low that I was looking at gay pornography, any pornography, anything that could bring me lustful, sensual gratification, I was there. And it was all free. And the internet hasn't improved at all since then. Blind spots. So I was stuck in a bad spot. We need a channel of healthy communication into our lives. We need men around us who are bringing healthy communication into our lives. Secondly, the second downside to isolation, it brings loose living. Loose living. In Proverbs 18:1, it says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. I was seeking my own desire. If you think about, if you're watching a National Geographic thing or a wildlife program or something, and you've got a herd of animals, and you've got this, like a herd of zebras, I think I've seen. And you've got like wild dogs that'll come after them. If they stay together as a herd, the attackers get nowhere. But if the attackers can isolate one person, one animal out of that herd, they're in trouble. When you get out of the herd, you are in danger to prey. And again, this is how it is with men. If our attitude is, you know, I can do this as long as no one knows, it doesn't matter. If it's very private inside my life. Something I did often on weekends, I would go away all by myself. I'd go down to the shore or out of town somewhere, and I'd change into a different person because no one would know, and therefore it doesn't matter. Very strange behaviors that I exhibited as I did that. I used to go down to the beach and run around in Speedos and bikinis and be some kind of a really goofy person and come back home and I'd be David Brubaker, member of Mechville Church, teaching Sunday school superintendent. So James talks about a double-minded man, a dualism, a duplicity in our lives. Thirdly, isolation brings a loss of motivation for the noble things of life. a loss of motivation for the noble things of life. We need male cheerleaders in our lives. When's the last time that you think Vernon heard one of his other male friends say, "Hey, Vernon, you're treating your wife like a queen. I am so proud of you." Probably doesn't happen a whole lot. But to have those male cheerleaders in our lives who come up and say, "Good job," affirming you, this is what we need. We cheer over a game. We cheer over the Phillies or the Eagles or Penn State or whoever you like, you know, or some famous hunter, whatever you relate to. But who cheers for you loving your wife? We need those men around us. Real friendships give us motivation for the noble things of life. Finally, isolation brings a loss of opportunities for much-needed transparency. Brings a loss of opportunity for much-needed transparency. Every one of us in this room, each one of us men, whether it's Ken or Herb or Jay or whoever, each one of us needs to be known and understood. We need someone to know and understand us. In isolation, we start to think that nobody cares. And as a single person caught in porn and feeding on lust, you get depressed, you get discouraged, you get angry. You think it's me against the world. You think I am the only one going through this. And whatever the strangest problem is in your life, there's probably someone else that's going through that. Let's look at a few scriptures about being connected. Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." "A real friend sticks closer than a brother," from Proverbs 18:24. "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out for help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble." Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. I believe these are all in your manual. "A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need," Proverbs 17:17. "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works," from Hebrews 10:24. "Jonathan loved David as he loved himself," 1 Samuel 20, verse 17b. They were very close. David and Jonathan were so close and so supportive of each other, even though, you know, they were David was going to have the kingdom after it was taken from Saul. Manhood is a team sport. What can we do? What can we do to combat this all alone wound? It says, learn the three keys to friendship. Learn the three keys to friendship. And the first one is loyalty. Being there in good times, bad times, and terrible times. We just, Karen and I just hosted some friends of ours from Indiana over the weekend. And back in March, I was sitting at my desk on a Friday morning at work, and a friend of mine called me. He was in our wedding. And he called me on a Friday morning and said, "We've just had a stillborn child. We've just lost our baby." His wife was 41 weeks pregnant and went into labor about 1 o'clock in the morning. And Tim works nights, and she called him. He came. They went to the hospital quickly. She was bleeding, and when they got to the hospital, the baby's heart rate was, I think, about 130 and dropping rapidly. They wheeled her into the operating room to do an emergency C-section. They lost the baby's heartbeat. They got five nurses and held her down and cut her wide open with no anesthesia to get the baby out, to attempt to save the baby's life. The baby apparently had died just minutes before. They tried for 40 minutes to bring the baby back to life, and it didn't work. And Tim called me on a Friday morning at work, and and told me that this happened. And he needed me. And they were at our house this weekend. We took Friday evening and a lot of Saturday evening just to sit and listen to all their pain. We need our friends there, good times, bad times, terrible times. I'm going to show you a second clip from Touching the Void. The Touching the Void movie, I'm not a big movie person, but this movie was recommended from the Frat Material. If you choose to rent and watch this movie, it's a documentary. The two men that we see in it are not Christians. How they could go through everything they did and not be Christians blows my mind. They climb the mountain, they get to the top, and they start to come back down, and calamity strikes, and we're gonna. What happens before we go to the next point? What happens in the film is that they stay together. They have a rope, and the healthy climber attaches a rope to himself and lowers the injured climber to the end of the rope. The injured climber digs in. Then the upper guy comes down, and he digs in and lowers the injured guy. So they're kind of worming themselves down the mountain. Well, as they're going down the mountain, the one time the healthy guy digs in and he lowers the injured guy, but the rope never goes slack. And unbeknownst to the healthy guy, the injured guy has gone over a cliff and he's dangling in midair and he can't dig in. It's a blinding snowstorm, it's like 80 below, and they're stuck there. The upper guy cannot lower himself because the lower guy hasn't taken the weight off of the rope. So after an hour and a half of hanging there, the upper guy cuts the rope. And you'll have to read the book or get the movie and see what happens. They both survive. And it's pretty amazing that they could go through all that and not know that there's a God who cares. If you do rent the movie, in the middle of the movie for about 70 seconds, it is profanity, all right? So be aware of that. I am not here to endorse profanity. You can easily get it from the library, but it's got some issues. Three keys to friendship: loyalty, faithfulness is our second one. What values draw us together? Obviously, we can't relate to some men. A friend of mine has been attending the frat over at LCBC, and the small group that he has been in, he was not able to relate to the other guys. So there are some men that we will not get close to. We need to have common values that draw us together. Number three, the third key to friendship is encouragement. If you're going to have friends, use these three keys. We need to do these three things to get friends. What you can do, other things you can do, is to reach out to other men. Something that I do is I frequently go to breakfast with other men in our community, one-on-one, to encourage each other. So reach out to other men. Find a man that you like and challenge him to meet regularly with you. If there's someone that you like, meet with him to try to become a better individual. Challenge men you like to meet regularly with you to get better. In Scripture, Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. You're going to get like the people you're around. I just had breakfast yesterday with a young man who's struggling. And he went to a bachelor party and wound up making some very bad choices with alcohol. If you're hanging around with people who are making bad choices, you know, if you're standing up on this chair and you're the upright person and you're surrounded by other people, they can easily pull you down. It's much harder for you to pull them up than it is for you to pull them down. So if If you've got three guys who are making bad choices, you need to be careful that they're not pulling you down. If you're thinking, well, I can pull them up. Karen and I, we are volunteers at a youth center in Wummelsdorf. Once a week, we operate a youth center. And we used that illustration last week in a lesson to try to teach these youth what peer pressure does to you. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with men who are doing it well. Find men who are doing it well and associate with those through a Bible study, a prayer team. Okay. What you can do, get real and share your heart. It's been a long journey for me to be able to share my heart, to admit to another man, another Mennonite man, that I ever looked at gay pornography. It took a long time for me to be humble enough to say, this is a mistake I made. God has rebuilt my mind. God has done an amazing work in my mind. I am married. I have two beautiful children. We have a good marriage. I am thankful every morning that God rescued me from a path that would have led to terrible destruction. And to share that with other men and to inspire other men with what God has done in your life. It's what we need to do. Bear ourselves and get real and share your heart. Beyond sports, weather, and politics. You know, if benediction is in church and you stand up and you talk to the guy next to you, what are you talking about? The Phillies? Do you think there's anyone on the Phillies that cares a bit who Irvin Barkman is? I doubt it. They really don't care. Chase Utley doesn't care about any of us. As long as we're paying him, that's all he cares. One of the things that I did about maybe 9 months ago, I sat down with another man from church over breakfast. Him and his wife were struggling in their marriage. And he was struggling with pornography. They're married, they have some children. And here he is struggling with pornography. And I shared with him my story. Karen and I started dating. We were dating 5 weeks and got engaged. In our 30s, you can do that. Not recommended if your teenage son gets engaged after 5 weeks. Might want to slow him up a little bit. Although that's a Western thought. You know, there's another guy coming to Wummelsdorf Encourage Men who is from India, has an arranged marriage, 15 years of marriage. He met her, and 8 days later, they were married. So we have a Western concept of some things that isn't necessarily the best. Anyway, I met for breakfast with this guy, and I shared with him that I was dating Karen. Karen didn't know anything about my past, and we were engaged. And after we were engaged, I shared with Karen in depth that God had delivered me, that I was going through a correspondence course with Pure Life Ministries, and you know, Karen could have said, you know what, David, you're a nice guy, but that's a little too much. You know, I really don't want to be involved with you, but she didn't. And what I told this young man, I said, you need to tell your wife what you have done. And if you're here today and you're hiding something from your wife, you don't have to give her the gory details. I didn't tell Karen all the specifics of what pornography I'd looked at. I gave her a few specifics. We need to guard our wives' hearts, but we need to be completely open. If you want to have an active, vibrant marriage, you need to be completely open with your wife, no matter how scary and painful it was. This guy shared with his wife, and she did not react nicely at first. And God was at work, and they reconciled, and things are going well for them. All right, I have a handout that we're going to blitz through here. This is something that I have compiled from various sources. It's called Spiritual Friendship Questions, and we're going to look at these real quickly. It's not in your book. It's not part of the men's frat material, but as you meet with other men and if you struggle to find things to talk about spiritually, here are some starting points. Maybe some of you are doing great. Maybe you meet with another small group of guys, you know, every couple weeks or something. If you don't, or if you're looking for additional things to talk about, here are some of them. Talk about your past spiritual journey, your spiritual history. What is it that God has done in your life? Talk about the high and low places in your life. Look at talk about specific memory of closeness. Where did you receive encouragement? Talk about people that encouraged you in your life. These are just some pieces that I'm pulling off of the paper that's been handed out. Talk about your present spiritual journey, your relationship with God. And, you know, really, the council meetings that we've had historically in our Mennonite churches, I think, is where some of this stuff originally was supposed to happen. Talking about life. Where are you? How close are you to God? Hindrances. What is holding you back from a close relationship with God? Spiritual disciplines. What enables closeness to God? What is it in your life that draws you closer to Him? What are you doing to open up? Scripture memory, as a group together, to pick a scripture. I have a prayer partner at church. Him and I are working through Colossians 3. And in my back pocket every day, I have a paper with Colossians 3 on it. I failed to take it out of my pants a couple months ago, and then it went through the laundry. I had to print another one. But memorize scripture with other men. Scripture memory, meditation. Reading and study of scripture together and praying together. Fasting together, corporate fasting, agreeing on a certain day to skip a meal and spend time in prayer. Your physical journey, diet and exercise. I work in a laboratory. I sit in a chair all day long, and I don't go very far. So I go to the YMCA usually twice a week. Yesterday morning I was on the treadmill at home. You know, and as guys together, you know, talk about what are you doing to keep from turning into a blimp? Sleep. Make sure you're getting your sleep. Your emotional journey. How are you feeling about yourself? Are you feeling up or are you feeling down? Your temper. Talk about how well you are keeping your temper or losing your temper. Patience. Are you being patient with your children, your friends, your coworkers? Stress. Talk about stress. What is it that really has you strung out right now? Depression. Talk about how you feel about yourself. Joy and contentment. Again, things to focus on. Other things you can talk about in your group, your relational journey, how you're relating to your parents, if you still have them, your siblings. Marriage. How is it with your wife? And pray together for each other's marriages. Last night in our group with the guys, we took about 40 minutes and just prayed for each other. It was an awesome time together, praying. And your relational journey in your family, maybe with your children, family time, how you doing? Are you giving your family enough time? Talk about your children's spiritual development. Even at a young age, my five-year-old, we sat on the couch together and had family devotions, and there were some things happening in our lives. And talking with Mariah about, you know, do people pick on you for things? And yeah, they do. And well, how does that make you feel? And how should we respond? Desires and goals. What do you desire for your family? Friendships. Relationships that need healing. All of us go through times when we make a mistake with other people and we need to say that we're sorry. And then what are your spiritual desires for your friends? We're going to blitz through the rest of this. Your journey in community. Are you contributing at your fellowship, wherever you go to church or assemble with other believers? Are you a giver or are you a taker? Are you a leech? What are your spiritual gifts and are you using them? If God says, well done, what will it be because of? Your future journey. What kind of dreams do you have? How can others help? Have you shared with your friends so they can pray for you? When you're getting close to other men, we need to pray for each other. Get real and share your heart. Ways to combat the all-alone wound. Shakespeare talks about enjoying life together. You know, Vernon went rafting with the guys or whatever it is. I like to ride motorcycle. Enjoy life together. Spiritual. Shakespeare says, we few, we happy few, we band of brothers. And thanks for your attention. It was a privilege to come down and talk to you guys. And I hope that you're enjoying the quest for authentic manhood.